Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. We had learned in the Mishnah, V'noisn Bei B'Mesanenes. One may put eggs into the filter, into the sieve that's used for mustard. The purpose of doing this is to make the mustard have a more yellow color. And they put the yolk of the egg, the yellow of the egg, through this filter to receive, to give it that mustard, that color. Says the Gemara, Tari Yaakov Karcho, Lefishen Oysen Oysen Lebgafen. The question that Yaakov Karcho is obviously addressing is, why is there no issue of boira here? You're leaving the white on the top and the yellow on the bottom. And shouldn't that be considered boira? So, to which Rabbi Yaakov Karcha says, the entire purpose is that I want to just make a color for this mustard, give it the yellow color. That's not considered boira. So as the Bach explains what Rashi says, that even though by two foods, there's still a concept of boira, if I have two different varieties of food in front of me, and I want to take one of them and not the other one. The one I don't want is the psoilus, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. And the one that I do want is the oichel. So here too, as we described, we want the white and the yellow, but we only want the yellow. So why is that not considered an act of boira? So the Bach explains that you have two things working here. Number one, at the end of the day, they really are both foods. The yellow and the white are both foods. Furthermore, besides that they're both foods, he explains, I'm not doing it, that's what the Gemara is saying, he says, for the purpose of eating. If somebody were doing this with the intent of eating, then perhaps it would be more of a concern of boira. But here, I'm not separating the yellow from the white for purpose of eating. I'm only doing it for the purpose of coloring it. That is why it's not considered an act of boira. The Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Melech Shlomo is not so satisfied, the Shulchan Shlomo is not so satisfied with this approach. He says, so why should that make a difference? He says, he wants to suggest what Pshat is, that when is there a boira? This a boira is in a situation where I want to eat one and the other one. So the one I want to eat is clearly an oichel, and the one I don't want to eat is clearly a psoilus. But in a situation where I'm only using it for coloring, so it's obvious that I'm not interested in eating either of them. So therefore, that the yellow doesn't get the category of boira. However, the Magen Avraham takes a different approach. He says that whenever we're talking about one min, the egg, the yellow and the white, we can't consider it boira unless it's real psoilus. He says, in other words, as we mentioned a moment ago, there's a big chiddush in Hilchos Boira. The chiddush of Hilchos Boira is that even though something is very edible and very usable, if it's not something I want to eat, then or I want to have, it becomes psoilus. Says the Magen Avraham, the only time we say that is when it's two separate foods. But if it's one food and both parts of the food are edible, and I just need one of them, that is too much to call psoilus. Says the Gemara, Itmar. Chardel shaloshu. So they apparently made mustard, and they used to prepare it from Erev Shabbos. They were combined into one mass through the moisture contained in the mustard. But after they did that, they further processed it. And now the Gemara is going to discuss what are you allowed to do? They used to add water, they used to add wine to this mass, and what may you do and what may you not do. So says the Gemara Itma, Chadu Shaloshim Erev Shabbos, if you began already preparing this mustard with before Shabbos with its own moisture, L'machar, Amarav Memacha B'Kili, you want to add water or wine, you can add it with a utensil, with a spoon, Avaloi B'Yad. You can't do it with your hand. And the answer, because we have a concern of the Malachas Lisha, and therefore, to do this, you have to do it with a shinui. And what Rav is suggesting is when you do it the way Rashi explains, when you use a spoon to mix it, you can't mix it that well. And that's why it's considered a shinui. But if you mix it with your hand, then it gets very well mixed, and therefore it falls into the category of lush. There's a machlokes rishonim, how far to take this heter. Doesn't mean that the water and the wine may be added to the mixture and then also mixed with a shinui. Or does it mean that there are no ingredients added to the mixture on Shabbos? All that we're doing is just mixing it, and even that may be done only with a shinui. Amalei Shmuel, biyad, oto koyom machale biyad. Shmuel asks, how could you tell me that mixing it with your hand is usur? Do you normally use your hand to mix the mustard? Mach chamayim hu. Somebody who mixes the food with his hand, that's the way it's prepared for animals. Elam Shmuel, just the opposite. Mamacha biyad, strictly you may do it with your hand, ve'imamacha b'keli, because that's the shinui. Itmar, Rav Elazar Omer, echadzeh, whether you use a hand or a keli, it's osur. Rav Yochanan Omer, and Rav Yochanan's opinion is that echadzeh mutter, in all circumstances it's permissible. Says the Gemara, Abaye v'Rava dami tavayu, both a Rai and a Rava paskin, then aloch k'Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan took this very lenient opinion, and he says you could use your hand or a keli. Say Abaye v'Rava, we can't paskin that way. And says the Gemara, Kam Rabbi Yochanan b'shitzed Rabbi Lazar. And then Rabbi Yochanan himself retracted and agreed with the opinion of Rabbi Lazar that it may not be done, not with the hand or not with a keli. But Kam Rabbi Lazar, says the Gemara, b'shitzed Shmuel, with the shita of Shmuel, that he says that you could use your hand and you may not use your keli. Abaye v'Rava d'Amar Tavayu, but Abaye and Rava said, Halach Rabbi Yochanan. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that you can't use your hand or keli. In other words, at the beginning, Abaye and Rava did not agree with Rabbi Yochanan, because it was difficult for them to accept that you could mix this, whether with a yad or whether with a keli. And therefore they paskined that a keli is mutter and a yad is osur. They paskined like Rav, because this is the way the Sfasem explains the Gemara, because we have a klal in Shas, Haloch Karab Yisurim. Whenever there's a question of Issa V'Heter, we follow the opinion of Rav. But once Rabbi Yochanan said that you can't use not your hand or not a keli, they decided to follow his psak. Because even though when we have a machloikus Rav and Shmuel, we follow the psak of Rav, but when Rabbi Yochanan argues with them, we follow the psak of Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Imed Abaye, which we always explain means Abaye's nurse who raised him. Of delay, she made for him chardel and Shabbos v'lo yochel, and refused to eat it. The visa de Zera, of delay, the wife of Zera made chardel or Rav Chiba Rashi v'lo yochel, and refused to eat it. Amalei l'rabach av delay v'ochel, I made this for your Rebbe and he ate it. Vat at lo yochalt hag. Why don't you eat it? If your Rebbe felt comfortable, you should feel comfortable. Amar Rava, Bashva, have a ka'imna, kameid Ravina. I was once in front of Ravina, Ubachshle besusta the tuma. She used the stalk of a garlic, and since that is a real shinui, something that's a real shinui, That's why Vachal, he ate it. That's certainly considered a shinui. But the Gemara concludes by saying that Loch is not like any of these different opinions that we have just studied. El Kihadi Itmar, Chadish Loshim Erev Shabbos, Chadda that was begun to be prepared from Erev Shabbos, Lamacha Mamachoi, the next day it may be mixed, Bein Biyad Bein Bekeli, Vinois Latochet Vash, and you could add honey to it, Vla Yitrif. But the Loch is, you shouldn't beat it like you beat an egg. You shouldn't beat it very strongly. You should only mix it. El Ma'ariv, you should mix it softly. And as the Mishnah Berurah explains, why are you allowed to mix it? Whether with both with your hand and with a keli, according to Mazutra. He says, since it's always done by beating it, like they beat an egg, and then now you're not beating it this way, that's why it's mutter. So of course the Bi'ur Halacha in Siman Shin Chof Aleph Sif Tezvav Divrei Maskil Yochel asked the question, how can we allow that this should be done just because you're not beating it hard? It should still be that you're mixing it and it should still be considered Gibel. So he answers that since if you're not going to beat it, it's going to remain liquidy. Since it's going to remain liquidy, so you didn't really accomplish Lisha on Shabbos. Lisha b'Shabbos means that you make it into a batter, into something with body. Here it has no body, that's why it's mutam. Says the Gemara, Shechlayim sheshach b'am erev Shabbos. Now the Gemara begins to discuss kress, which was chopped before Shabbos. L'machor, nice on Tachan Shem v'chaymetz. On Shabbos, you could add oil and vinegar, or mashal tocha miso, and you could put a misa into it, v'layitref elamarev. And again, the Gemara says, you have to be careful not to beat it, and just to do it very lightly. And again, the issue here is it going to be lisha? Or is it going to be toichen if you're going to chop it too well? And that's why if it's all done from before Shabbos, it's less of a concern. We learned, says the Gemara, Omash es amisa l'toichen. Ask the Ramayim misa, what is amisa? Says the Gemara, amisa is ninya, is mint. Amar Abaya, shma mino, from here we see, hay ninya, ma'al l'tachli. Mint is good to add to kress, it gives it a good taste. We learned in the Mishnah, voisin anmunli b'Shabbos. But we didn't explain what amulin is. Tana Rabbanan, so begins the Gemara. Oisin amulin b'Shabbos. We're allowed to make an amulin on Shabbos because it's something that everybody drinks. And as when we learned the halachas of refuah and Shabbos, we discussed that anything that's done, anything that people consume in their regular diet, that's considered a machal b'riyim. And you may consume it on Shabbos, even if your purpose of taking it is for refuah. The example we always gave was the chicken soup, that one is allowed to take chicken soup on Shabbos, even though he's taking it because he's not feeling well. But since chicken soup is a machal b'riyim, it's a food that healthy people eat, anything that people eat is not considered a refuah on Shabbos. And then mulin, says the Gemara, was such a beverage that everybody drank. And luntis, which was made to cool off somebody who comes out of a hot place, out of a base of merchats. So there we have a concern of refuah b'Shabbos, and therefore may not be made on Shabbos. Says the Brisa further, v'ezu amulin v'ezen and luntis, and amulin yayin d'vash or pilpulin. Amulin is made out of wine and honey and pepper. A luntis yayin yoshin, wine, clear water, v'afarsimon, and balsam, the avdelebe mesus l'meika, which is made for people that left the bathhouse that were very hot and they needed this to cool down the system. Amar Rav Yosef, zim nechadus alisa bas marukva l'beibani. I once followed marukva to the bathhouse, kinofke, and when he law came out, ashkin chamra chad kosi, he gave me one cup of wine. The Chashi Rabbanisa the Rashi, the Tufa the Kari. And I felt the effects, the cooling effect of this drink from the hair on the top of my head until the nails on my feet. V'yashkin kasachrina, if I would have gotten another cup to drink, having a stiffna, I would be concerned that I'm menakli meschus dal medasi. Maybe I would lose my schus and the only in the olam ha'emes. So there's two pshatim that the rishonim give. One pshat is that the chilling effect would be so strong that he didn't know if he would survive. And if he survived, it would only be because he had schusim. But anything, if his schusim are used in this world, then he lose them in the next world. So he says, I would need so many schusim to survive drinking another cup that I would lose schusim for olam haba. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that I would have such hano, I would have such pleasure in this world that it would be as if I got a chelik ready of my olam haba. Says the Gemara, Marukva drank this every day and it didn't affect him negatively. Answers the Gemara, Shani Marukva, the Dashbe. Marukva was accustomed to drinking it. Somebody who drinks it all the time, it doesn't have such a strong effect on it, on him. Says the Mishnah, Ain't Sharim is a Chiltis v'Poshim. We're not allowed to soak Chiltis. Chiltis is a resin that has a bad taste, a bad odor that comes from different plants. And we're not allowed to soak it on Shabbos in warm water. Avol, but if you're allowed to do it into vinegar. And the reason is because when you put it into vinegar, it's a regular dip that people used to use. But when it's put into water, it's a medicine that we just discussed is an issue. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, we can't make the resin where we have vetch, we have the psyllus rise to the top, float on the top, then shafen son, nor v'leishafen son, because that's considered bayer. Both of these things are considered bayer. Avonaisno tocha kavra. The Mishnah says we may put it into a sieve, or tocha kakala, or into a basket, because I'm not intending that it should become filtered that way, and it's certainly not something that's going to necessarily happen, the story Rashi explains. So since it's not certainly going to happen, it's not considered boirer. And in fact, the Bi'ar Locha says that if you put it into a keli where it would certainly get separated, it would indeed be awesome, because then it's a psik reisha. And even if we pass like Rav Shimon, that a dovah shayna miskaven is mutter, not by a psik reisha. The Ran disagrees with Rashi, and the Ran's opinion is that this is not considered an act of boirer under any circumstances, and therefore it may be done. Says the Mishnah further, Ein koivim es ha-tavrin b'kavra. We may not sift straw with a sieve, v'leit neno al-gabem mokim gavoya b'shul shi'er damait, nor may we put it on a high place so that the chaff will drop from it. Avonaitu b'kavra, you could put it into a sieve, or you could put it into the basket that's in front of the animal. And as the Meiri explains, this is not considered a maisa b'irur because animals don't really care about the difference between the food and the bran. Iboiluhu, the Mishnah, they asked the following shayla, v'shara, if somebody did soak chiltis in lukewarm water, my, is he over chiv chatis? Is it considered a deraisa or not? Says the Gemara Tigma Rav Adin Ashoa Kamed Rav Yosef, Shora chayiv chatis. If he did so, he's certainly chayiv chatis because it's considered melacha slosh. That's the way that they made this mass. And therefore, it's considered losh. Other Rishonim explain that the chiv is mevashal, because the halacha of mevashel is not limited to cooking food. It's making something edible. And this is the way you make it edible. And that's why it's in the category of mevashel. Amar Abaye Elam Ata says Abaya, so if that's the way you're going to learn, shor umtzbemaya, if somebody soaks raw meat in water, hochnam de mechayiv. And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara is Abaya wasn't meaning to say that it should be also to soak meat in water. What Abaya was saying was, it's obvious that it's no problem to soak meat in water. So just like it's obvious that it's mutter to soak meat in water, this should be mutter also. Elam Abaya, the whole Isser of doing this is Midrabonon, and the Isser is something that we spoke earlier about. The issue is that you now make it Ovdun Dechol. But as we explained, Ovdun Dechol doesn't mean that you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos that you do during the week. Are you not allowed to eat on Shabbos? You're not allowed to sit in the Shabbos? What Chazal said is considered Ovdun Dechol, that you could come to do a malacha. And here too, this is something that could end up doing a malacha. Other Rishonim explain because it's a Tirchi Yisera. That's the way most Rishonim learn this Gemara. Other Rishonim say that the discussion here is what is considered refuah and what is not considered refuah. That's the Meiri's approach to this Gemara. Says the Gemara, we spoke here about soaking it in lukewarm water. What's going to be the halacha about soaking it in cold water? Again, because as we said at the beginning of the shir, that when you do something with a shinui, it may become mutter. So here too, since it's normally soaked in lukewarm water, maybe by soaking it in cold water, it should be mutter, or is this a shinui that's not enough of a shinui? Omelay, so he said, osur. Cold water is not going to allow you to do this. Ask the Gemara Nantanan, our Mishnah says, ain't sharon is a chiltis bepoishim. So our Mishnah clearly seems to indicate that only lukewarm water is a problem. Ha betsoinen, cold water, mutter, is not a concern. Omelay, imkain, so Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if I don't know to explain the Mishnah better than you, ma bein li v'loch, what makes the difference between me and you? And of course, this is a very difficult statement. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than you are, and therefore, I know the right pshat, and who are you to ask? So, the Chavis Yor explains that the way to understand the Gemara is that Rav Yanai was Rav Yochanan's Rebbe. And a Rebbe is allowed to talk to his Talmud that way. And he also says a different pshat. He says, I know that this is the proper pshat of the Mishnah, because that's the way I heard it from my Rebbe's. And if I heard it from my Rebbe, that's what makes it correct. Masnison, our Mishnah clearly indicates that only lukewarm water is an issue. Masnitsi Chidohi. Our Mishnah is the opinion of only one Shita. The Tanya, ain't chas a chiltas loy b'cham v'loy b'tsoinen. You may not use not hot water nor cold water. Rav Yossi, oim b'cham asun. You're not allowed to use hot water b'tsoinen mutter. Cold water may be used. Ask the Gemara l'may avdelei. Why did they prepare this food this way? Says the Gemara l'yukra d'liba. If somebody has a heaviness of the heart, some sort of a chest pain, this is what they used to give for chest pain in those days. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov ben Yosef, Chosh b'yukur d'liba. Rabbi Yaakov ben Yosef had these chest pains, Osla kamei de Marukva, and he asked Marukva, Amalei. So he told him, Zil shalsu t'losu tikli chiltasa, go bring three portions of this chiltasa, b'tlosu yoyma, over 3 days. Ozel ishti, and he went and he started drinking it. Chamisha b'shabso on Thursday, Omal b'shabso on Erev Shabbos Friday. Letzafra oz l'shal b'medrasha. And on Shabbos morning, he came to the yeshiva and he asked, "What should he do on Shabbos?" Amalei. So they responded, "Tana debei Rav Ada." Amalei tana debei Mamber Rav Ada. Shoyz ad mekave kabayim. A person could drink this chiltas veina choishes. So it says to Amalehu, "Lishtas lekam eboilei." There was no question in my mind that I'm allowed to drink it. Why did I not have a question you're allowed to drink it? Because chiltas was something that even healthy people drank. And as we've been learning, something that healthy people drink, there is no problem of refuah of a Shabbos. Kika bayaloi, my question was, licious mai, am I allowed to prepare it? Amlu Rav Chibar Ashi, Ravin, but did he have a uvda? I had such a question itself. V'asu shalt l'radi bar hava, and I went and I asked this question to Rabbi Bahava, v'loyav yodei, he couldn't answer. Also shatul Rafuna. I then went and asked Rafuna this question. Amali hachakama rav shar b'tzoynen u'menich b'chama. You soak it in cold water, because soaking in cold water is not the normal way of doing it, and then put it out in the sun to get heated up. Again, we're obviously not referring to situation of a chayil shesh b'sakana. If it was chayil shesh b'sakana, we'd be much more lenient. Says the Gemara, Taman, the Shari, this, the Rav said, that you could put it into cold water, because he holds, like Rabbi Yossi, that we just quoted, that you're always allowed to soak chiltas in cold water, but according to the Chamim, it would indeed be usur. Says the Gemara, no. Afil l'manda usur. Even Rav was being lenient, even according to the opinion of Chachamim, who normally tell us we may not do this. Because why? Hanimili, when did Chachamim say that you can't soak it in cold water, hecha delayish deklal, where you had not begun to drink it at all? Avl hocha, kivin de ishti chamshir ma'al shabbosa, since he drank it already Thursday and Friday, ilo shasi b'shabbos, if we would not allow him to drink it on Shabbos, mistaken. It'll be sakana. That's why we were more lenient. But we see from here, explains the Ritva, that even though we're being lenient, we're only being lenient in because with a shinui, we should always try to minimize the Chil Shabbos. And this is the basis of a famous discussion in the Paiskim. If somebody began taking a medicine before Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos, and again, I have to stress that we're not speaking about a person who is a chayil shesh b'sakana, may he continue taking this medicine on Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Kluger has a sefer, it's called Sefer Chayim. And he says people are under the impression that if you started taking a medicine before Shabbos, you could continue taking it on Shabbos. So he says, of course, it's only mutter if it doesn't involve making the medicine. It's only a question that the medicine is prepared from before Shabbos, like our medicines. So he says that maybe if the medicine is already prepared from before Shabbos, and then you're allowed to continue taking it on Shabbos. Rav Yoshev disagreed, and he says that if stopping to take the medicine for one day won't cause a sakana, we can't be lenient. He says here that it was less of a shaila that since it was already prepared and it was a medicine that won't work if you stop taking it, that's why there were more makel. And that's the way Rav Shlomo Zalman paskens as well. The only time you could continue taking medicines is in a situation where stopping to take the medicine could cause that the medicine that you already took won't be effective. You're going to have to start the regimen all over again. Rav Moshe was even more machmer. Rav Moshe says that this medicine, that taking medicine under these circumstances is no different than taking medicine under any other circumstances. And the only time you could take, whatever the rules of medicine are, apply to this situation as well. If you're allowed to take the medicine, then you're allowed to take it. And if you're not allowed to take it, you're not allowed to take it. The fact that you started and stopped, the started already is irrelevant in halacha. Says the Gemara, "Mistamim v'ozol Rav Acha by Yosef Akasar Rav Nachman by Yitzchuk by Achsei." Rav Acha by Yosef was leaning on the shoulder of his nephew Rav Nachman by Yitzchuk. When we get to the home of Rav Safra, please bring me in there. Kimote, so when they passed that home, Ayla, he brought him into that home. Bamine, and he asked the following question. What they used to do very often was that they got something, a new shirt, a linen shirt, they used to rub it on Shabbos. And the question is he just looking to soften the linen, and therefore it's shapidami, that's no problem. By doing so, it would cause that the linen would have would shine, it would be bright. And that's why it's aser, it's in the melacha melaben. Amalei, ruchusay kitnas kamachavin, he's certainly only intending to soften the shirt, and therefore it's mutter. Kinafak, when Rav Achva Yaakov left Rav Safra's house, Asr Amalei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak came and said to Rav Achva Yosef, he wanted to hear what was the discussion. What did he ask you? Amalei, so he said, he asked me, Malach Susi Kitnisa Bishabsa, are you allowed to rub the linen in Shabbos? Vamalei, Shapidami. And he told me, it's fine. So of course, the question is, says the Ritva, so does that mean we're going to ask every person what was your intention? So says the Ritva, that's not what the halacha tells us to do. But the halacha is that once we know what is the typical intention of a person, that becomes the halacha for everybody. So he said to him, "V'tiboyle mar sudra." They used to wear a head kerchief, what made out of linen. What about what's going to be the halacha then? So he says, "Sudra lo kumiboyle." By his head kerchief, I don't have a question. The boy, Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna upashali, and he told me that you're not allowed to. Says the Gemara, v'tifshalei l'mama sudra. So he asked him, if you can't do it by the kerchief, you shouldn't be allowed to do it on the shirt. Amalei, so he responded, hasa mechzi kelud chivra. Everybody wears the kerchief in a way that it's visible. So of course they want the kerchief to look nice. So when they soften it, they're doing it that it should have a nice, bright color. Hacha, but the shirt is not visible. So it's not worn for that purpose. Lo mechzi k'uvlet chivra, and therefore it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Hai Ketnisa, if you have a shirt that was put out before Shabbos to dry, and the way it was put out to dry was that they used to put it on a stick as a hanger. Of course, it's important to point out that the only time you could take a short shirt that was laundered before Shabbos and wear it on Shabbos is if the shirt was wearable already bein hashmashos. But if the shirt was not wearable bein hashmashos, it becomes muksa, as the Mishnah Berurah teaches us in Simen Shin Ches, Sif Katan Sif Gimel. Samach Gimel. Here the question is, when you're taking it off the hanger and you're moving the hanger and the hanger is muksa, as we're going to explain, and the question is, can you take it off the hanger or not? Avol kanya memena, and therefore the Gemara paskins, you could take the shirt off the hanger, but you can't take the hanger out of the shirt because the hanger is muksa. And of course, as we've learned so many times, we're not allowed to move muksa. So of course, the Bach asks, if the hanger that we're discussing is muksa, so why isn't the shirt considered a basas l'davar aser? So he gives two answers. One answer is that normally basas l'davar aser is that the iser is on top of the heter. Here, the heter, the shirt, is on top of the iser. That's why it's not bosses. The Prima Gadim answers in a much more fundamental fashion. The Prima Gadim says that bosses is not dependent on what's on top and what's on bottom. Rather, the way to establish bosses is what is serving what. And the hanger is serving the shirt. The shirt is not serving the hanger. So the Eliyahu Rabbi asks, but why should it be usher? I'm taking the shirt, not the hanger. So he says that we learn from here that if I could take the shirt off without moving the hanger, yes, there are times we'll have to move a muksa, but we've quoted this previously. We always want to minimize when we move muksa. So if there's a way to remove the shirt, then without moving muksa, that's what we're supposed to do. So we explained that the hanger was just like a piece of wood, which is muksa. But ask the Ran, if I designated and I'm using this piece of wood from before Shabbos, shouldn't that make that it's not muksa? So he says that in those days, just because they took a piece of wood and they used it for one time to hang a shirt on it, that doesn't mean that I designated it as a hanger and it remains muksa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, to which Rava says, Vim kli kiyuhu, but if it's a weaver's rod, so then it's not muksa. And since it's not muksa, it's a kli shemlach del heter, and therefore I could move it. Amar Rav Ashi, hai kishasa. And again, the Rashi explains that it's a keli, and a keli, some say it's a kli shemlach del heter, and some say it's a kli shemlach del heter. Amar Rav Chisda, hai kishasa de yarka. This bunch of herbs, ichazi lemachl behema, if it's edible for animals, shayla tatule, because it's not muksa. Viloi, but if it's not, then it's asur, because it's if it's not edible, it's muksa. Amar Rav Chiya Ashi, Amar Rav, hai talya de bisla, if you have a string of animal meat, shayla tatule, you let him move it. The kavri, but a raw fish is asur. So the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos had a lump shot in this Gemara. Rashi says that pshat in the Gemara is that raw salted meat is edible. And therefore, since it's edible, it's not muksa. Whereas fish, raw fish, is not edible. And therefore, since it's not edible, it's muksa. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos has a different pshat. Tosfos says that the issue here is the string on which they're hanging. And Tosfos says the string that the meat is hanging doesn't become muksa machmas mias. And therefore, since it doesn't become muksa machmas mias, you can move the string on Shabbos. But the string on which the raw fish is hung becomes very repugnant. And because it becomes so repugnant, it's muksa machmas mias. Says the Gemara. The Gemara begins now a number of memories that are all agadah to Gemara. And even though, explains the Maral, that every one of these memories seem to be practical, simple etzes, there is a lesson in each one of them. Says the Gemara Amar Rav Ktina, Ha'ayma b'emtza mita, if somebody stands in the bed where a husband and a wife sleep together, kil ayma b'kreisa shalisha, it's going to cause him to think what he's not supposed to think. But says the Gemara V'lab Milsehi, it's incorrect. Amar Rav Chisda, Bar Barav, the Zovin Yarka, if you buy vegetable, Lisbon Aricha, they used to sell vegetables in a bundle. So if you're buying a bundle of vegetables, buy a longer bundle. Kisha Kikisha, the width of all of the bundles are identical. Varucha Memela, but the longer ones, you'll get more if you buy the longer ones. So the Maral explains this Gemara. They hear we're speaking about modesty. Vegetables which grow from the ground represent modesty. He says that all, even though somebody is great, even though urcham emela, even though you're great, you should be like a vegetable. And if you're going to be like a vegetable, even when you're a great person, urcham emela, you'll have arichas yomim. V'amar Rav Chisda, ba'be rav d'zovin kanya, if you're buying a bundle of wood, lisbon aricha, again, buy the longer one. Because tuna ketuna, they're all the same width, v'rucham emela, but you get more if you buy the longer one. And here too, the some cipher explains what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that even if you're a great person, you should still have savlonis, you have patience when you talk and teach other people. Tuna ketuna, we all carry the same load, but the person who's patient, when he learns with his talmidim, will have urcham emela, will be zoich tarichas yomim. V'amrach is the babay rav, to learn the fish lay rifta. If you don't have a lot of bread. Le'loich liyarka. Don't eat vegetables. Meshum degar. Because it causes you to be hungry, and you know you don't have what to satiate yourself with. So here too, they explain that lechem always refers to Torah. The Torah is lachma shel Torah. So if somebody, if you have a talmid chacham that doesn't have a lot of Torah, he shouldn't eat, he shouldn't be too modest like a vegetable, because if he's in a place where there aren't talmid chachamim, then he is going to not be respected. And therefore, even though normally a talmid chacham, as we said a moment ago, is supposed to act with extreme modesty, in a place where there are, where there is no lechem, in a place where there are no talmid chachamim, then the talmid chacham has to act in a more significant manner. And that's why the Gemara says the talmid chachamim Bavel used to wear nice clothing that would demand respect. Not when I was poor did I eat vegetables. Not when I was wealthy did I eat vegetables. But in the Yossi, when I was poor, I didn't eat vegetables. Mishum degarur, as we just said, it makes you hungry, and I didn't have what to eat. B'srasa damina hecha da'achli yarka, instead of eating vegetables, which they didn't consider such a healthy food, less the best recovery, let me eat meat and fish. The Ben Yoyada gives a whole different explanation to this Gemara. What Rav Chesda meant to say was that he didn't eat vegetables because he was concerned with taloyim, with worms in the vegetables. Because vegetables, we know, can have an infestation problem. And therefore, he says, he didn't want to eat vegetables, but he didn't want to embarrass the people in his home who checked the vegetables, but he wasn't comfortable eating the vegetables even after they were checked. So that was why he gave this explanation. Amar Rav Chisda, Barbare Rav Dolay Nefishlei Rifta, if you have a Talmid Chacham that doesn't have a lot of bread, Le'lifzei Pitzui. In those days, the person, we know, if there were a number of people who ate together, so the people who led the meal, the person who led the meal, made the bracha, gave everybody a piece of the bread. So he says that if you don't have a lot of bread, don't be the one to cut the bread because you don't have enough to share. The Chasam Sofer explains this Gemara that we're speaking about learning Torah. And Rav Chisda is teaching us that a Talmud Chacham who's learning and is involved in a sugya should not give small lectures at a time. He should study the entire subject. And after he studies the entire subject, then he's qualified to give a shiur on that subject. Another pshat that he gives is that you shouldn't learn small pieces of every mesechta. You should learn a whole mesechta. And after you learn the whole mesechta, then you go on to the next mesechta. Bamar Rav Chisda, Baba Ravdal and the fish lay rifta, lay liftsa, he shouldn't be the one to cut the bread. My time delivered by Yofa, because he doesn't have enough bread. Bamar Chisda, Anomi Karla have a bitsana. I never did betzias a pass. I had the shadi yuda b'kolimana. I checked what I had in my basket, how much bread I had. Vishkech b'kotzarchi. Only when I found that I had enough bread did I cut the bread for the whole group that we were eating together. Says the Gemara Amram Chizda, Hai man da'afshal le'le mechal nam desari. If someone could eat barley bread, v'ocha d'chiti, and he eats wheat bread, which is more expensive, he's over Batashkas. Because why spend the money on expensive bread when you could get the same with the cheaper with cheaper bread? So Mashua asks, by everything else in the Gemara says, by all the other members in the Gemara says Barber Bay Rav. And here the Gemara says Haiman. So he says, by all the other situations that our Gemara mentioned, they're just an Eitza Toiva, the good advice. But here, when we're dealing with Baal Tashchis, there everybody is subject to Baal Tashchis. The Chasam Sofer, however, says a different pshat. The Chasam Sofer says, everybody else, as the Gemara just said, should buy barley bread, cheaper. But a Talmud Chacham should eat wheat bread Because the Gemara says that wheat bread helps your memory. And by Talmud Chacham, we need that he should have a memory to remember what he learned. Vama Rapapa, Haiman de Efshla Mishti Shikra, somebody who could drink beer, Vishasi Chamra, and he drinks wine, Oiva Mishon Ba Tashkas, the same consideration, it's more expensive. However, says Vama Masahi, this is incorrect. Bal Kashkas de Gufa Adif. If wine is healthier, that of course is something that we should always take into consideration. Vama Chizabai by Rav, the Leslie Mishka. If you don't have oil, Nimshi b'maya d'charitza. You should use the water that is in the ditches that where vegetables grow, and that's where you have oil. And the Chasam Sofer says that this Gemara also is talking to a Talmud Chacham, and he's saying and teaching us that the Gemara Masechet Ha'oreis that Yud Gimel Amud Beis says that olive oil enhances one's memory, and therefore what we're saying here is Babarai Rav de Lesley Mishka, who isn't remembering what he learned. What he should do is, he should learn B'maya de Charitzi. He should learn the Gemara B'Iyun, and by learning B'Iyun, something you learn B'Iyun, you're more likely to remember. Bam Rav Chizda, Baba Rav de Zavin Umtza, Atam Chacham de buys meat, Lisbon Unka, buy neck meat. This by Tlesamin Abasari, there are three types of meat there, the fatty meat, lean meat, and tough meat, and you'll have everything. And the morale explains that this Gemara is coming to teach us how great Hashem is. Poor people obviously cannot spend money on meat. So says the morale, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them neck meat, which has all of these different qualities, and you can still get the taste of all types of meat without having to spend a lot of money. The Chasam Sofer says that this Gemara is speaking to Talmid Chachamim, that the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Loilam Yashlev Adam Shnoisov, Shlush B'Mikra, Shlush B'Mishnah, Shlush B'Talmud, divide your time, a third in Talmud, a third in Chumash, a third in Mishnayis, that's what you should do. But Tosfos, we know, there says that by learning Talmud Bavli, we accomplish it all, because Talmud Bavli is Bola Mikol. Mam Rav Chizda, Babai Rav Dizovin Kitnisa, if a Talmud Chacham buys a linen shirt, Lizdam in the Har Abba, buy the expensive good shirt, the Nechavar Kot Losan Yomim, and be careful to wash it every 30 days. The Mefachalei Tresu Yachashata, if you'll do so, it'll last 12 months. Vana Arva, and I could be a guarantor. And here too, Morale says, he's giving advice to poor people that can't buy new clothing all the time, how they could buy clothing and be able to preserve them and not need to buy new clothing all the time. Ask the Gemara, my Kutnisa, what does Kutnisa stand for? Kitano. It's something that, it's a nice thing. You could feel proud when you're wearing such a garment. Vamrach is the Babei Rav, Leisiv Atzipsa Chadta. A Talmud Chacham should not sit on a new mat, because the Mechal Yamane, again, it ruins the beged, and therefore you want to preserve it. Here too, the Chasam Sofer says, you have to be careful, the Gemara is teaching us that a Talmud Chacham has to be careful with whom he sits. The Mechal Yamane, it can ruin him if he doesn't sit with the right type of people. A Talmud Chacham who's staying by a hostess should not ask her to wash his garments. The lav aruch aretz, not proper aruch aretz. Dilma chos b'midi, maybe he had an admission, vos lemagnie, and she'll see it when she washes his clothing. Amal aruch chizda labansi, tevet snis b'api gavreichu. You should always act b'tsnis. Lo seichu nahami b'api gavreichu. Don't eat in front of your husbands, because that looks, you may not always be able to eat with sneeze. Others explain, don't overeat in front of your husband. It doesn't cause that they may not look at you properly. L'sichlan Yaakov Alayla, don't eat vegetables at night because they cause bad breath. L'sichlan Tamri Balayla, don't eat dates by night. V'tishtan Shikhar Balayla, or don't drink beer by night because they cause excessive gas. V'tifna Hechna Mafna Gavraichu, they didn't have bathrooms. Don't relieve yourself in the same place where your husbands relieve themselves, because if they'll see that, it could cause them not to have the look at you properly. If you call a ababa inish, and when somebody knocks at the door, l'tamru manu, don't say manu, which is a lashon zachor, elamani, which is a non-gender, which is a lashon akeva, that your husband shouldn't be concerned that you have men coming to visit. Hold the pearl with one hand and the core with the other hand. That means have your husband touch the upper part of your body by tashmish, not the bottom part. Maganisa achvale, the kurulai achvale, show him the upper part, not the bottom part. Adam tzaren, until they're ready to do bia, and then they'll have the proper ability to do the bia, vada achvale, and then you can do the bia properly. I saw pshat in this Gemara that Ritva says that we're trying to teach the importance of tznius. The Miri says that something that somebody wants a lot is what something appreciates. So you have to show that you want it, and then you will appreciate it. So we learned in the Mishnah, ain't shomas kashinin. We may not make the vetch float, but we could put them into a sieve in a basket. Says the Gemara, masnisin lo kaitana. Our Mishnah doesn't follow this Tana. The Tanya blessed ben Yaakov Omer, ein mashgichim bekaver kalikar. We're not allowed to use a sieve on Shabbos under any circumstances. Says the Mishnah, garfim from neipetem. We could sweep out the animal, the place from which the animal eats his food on Shabbos, and we can move the excess food to the side because of soya that's there. Divrei Reb Yosa, the Chum Oisim, the Chum say it's Oser. Says the Mishnah further, we could take food from one animal, the Noisim Lefnei Behemzu, and give it to the other animal, the Shabbos. Iboilhu. So when Rabbanan disagreed, asked the Gemara, Rabbanan Reisha Pligi, are they arguing on the first din that it doesn't allow us to clean out this place? Are they safer pligius? Are they also arguing are they arguing the safer? Are they taver pligius arguing on both halachas? Toshma de Tanya, the Brisa teaches us explicitly, v'cham oimrim, echadze, both the dirt and the tsoya, lo yisakenel sotadim, you shouldn't move to the side. Says the Gemara, Amrav Chizda, machloikus be'evishal karka. The machloikus is when they're eating off the floor. And there we're concerned about ashvui gumus that may come to level out the floor. Ava ve'evishal keli, if it's a vessel, so there's no concern of ashvui gumus, divrei karka mutar. Ask the Gemara, ve'evishal karka mi'ikam andashari, is there anybody that could suggest that if it's made, that if it's on the floor, you could be lenient? Hakamajri gumis, when you're clearing it out, you're leveling the floor. Says the Gemara, Yitma Hachitma. Amrav Chizda Machlaikis, Be'eva Shokeli. Do we make a gzeira or don't we make a gzeira? Abba Eva Shokarka, if it's on the ground, where there's a concern of a Shvui gumis, and even according to Shimon that holds a Dovashayda Meskavin, his mutter, explained the Rishonim, we're concerned if I'm going to allow to do it here, you may come the next time to do a Shvui Gumas, every Hakol Asur. We could take animal from one animal and give it to the other animal. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, we learned in one Bryce, we could take food from an animal whose mouth is good, to animal that's mouth is not good. But there's a different Bryce that says just the opposite. How do we reconcile these two brises? Omer Abai, Idi V'Idi. Both brises are teaching us, you could take from before a donkey to put in front of an axe, but to take food from the axe to put it in front of a donkey, and that's how we explain the brises. The first price that says, when a donkey eats, it doesn't drool. Is a para, it drools. So the food that the para ate, it drooled its saliva into it. The donkey's not going to want to eat from it. This lay riri. Vadik Tani, the second brisa that says, is talking about chamor deloy dayak v'ochel.
we could take food from before the animal, which has a poor mouth. It's talking about a donkey, which is doesn't care about it what it eats. For nois l'fnei behemish apir yofa b'haro the dike of achla. The ox is much more of a discriminating eater, and that's why it's considered a fine mouth. But both prices are teaching us we could take food from a donkey and put it before the ox, but not the other way around.